Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Zenefex, The Life of Alan Watts by Monica Furlong offers a readable, intimate portrait of one of the most influential interpreters of Eastern thought for Western audiences. Watts became widely known for translating Zen, Taoism, and related philosophies into language that felt immediate to mid-20th century seekers, students, and ordinary readers. Furlong follows his journey from an English upbringing shaped by Anglican culture and early fascination with Asian art and ideas through his move to the United States and his emergence as a lecturer, writer, and broadcaster. The biography pays attention to Watts as a public voice and as a complicated private person, balancing his intellectual gifts with the tensions created by fame, relationships, and the countercultural currents that amplified his reach. Rather than treating him as a distant icon, the book frames Watts as a human being whose strengths and contradictions helped form his message and his lasting appeal, especially for readers curious about how spiritual ideas travel across cultures. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from Anglican England to a lifelong fascination with Asia. A central thread in the biography is how Watts' early environment in England both constrained and propelled him. Furlong traces the conditions that made an inquisitive mind receptive to Zen and Taoist ideas, a society with strong religious institutions, a literary culture that prized big questions, and a young man drawn to art, nature, and contemplative experience. The book presents Watts not as someone who rejected the West outright, but as someone who felt the limits of conventional answers and went searching for languages of experience that emphasized immediacy over doctrine. His early encounters with Asian aesthetics and writings become formative, shaping his sense that spirituality could be less about belief and more about perception. This background matters because it explains the distinctive quality of his later work. He spoke to Western listeners in familiar terms, while inviting them to see through the habits of Western religiosity. Furlong uses this origin story to show how a personal curiosity became a vocation, and how Watts learned to bridge worlds long before he became famous for doing so. Secondly, becoming a translator of Zen and Taoism for the modern West, Furlong emphasizes Watts' role as an interpreter rather than a conventional teacher tied to a single institution. The biography explores how he learned to communicate complex Eastern philosophies in a way that felt practical, playful, and intellectually serious to Western audiences. Watts' gift was not simply summarizing ideas, but reframing them so that listeners could feel their implications in daily life. The book highlights how his talks and writings made themes like non-duality, the fluidity of self, and the limits of conceptual thinking accessible without demanding that readers adopt a new religious identity. At the same time, the biography points to the tightrope inherent in such translation. Any effort to carry Zen across cultures risks simplification, romanticizing, or turning practice into lifestyle. Furlong presents this tension as part of Watts' historical significance. He arrived at a moment when many people were disenchanted with conventional authority and hungry for alternatives, and he gave them a vocabulary that resonated. The result was a public intellectual who helped shape how Zen entered popular consciousness in the English-speaking world. Thirdly, the public voice lectures, broadcasting, and cultural influence. Another major topic is the construction of Watts' public presence. Furlong shows how his charisma, speaking ability, and instinct for audience needs turned him into a recognizable voice, particularly through lectures and media. The biography situates his rise within the broader landscape of 20th century America, where universities, radio, and public forums created new pathways for thinkers who could address spiritual and psychological concerns without fitting neatly into traditional religious roles. Watts became a guide for people trying to reconcile modern life with a sense of meaning, and he often did so with a tone that felt liberating rather than moralistic. The book also explores how his influence spread through emerging countercultural networks, helping shape conversations about consciousness, meditation, and alternative spirituality. Furlong treats this influence as both cultural and personal. Listeners felt he was speaking directly to their predicament, yet he was also navigating the demands of being a public figure. By examining the machinery of fame alongside the content of his message, the biography helps readers understand why Watts endured as a voice that still circulates through recordings and references today. Fourthly, a complicated private life behind the philosophy. Furlong does not present Watts as a flawless sage. A key theme is the friction between his message and his personal choices, especially in relationships, family life, and the pressures that accompany celebrity. The biography explores how a person who articulated acceptance, freedom, and the illusory nature of rigid selfhood could still struggle with ordinary human desires, habits, and mistakes. This portrait matters because it resists turning Watts into either a saint or a cautionary tale. Instead, Furlong portrays a talented, searching individual whose contradictions were real and sometimes costly to others, yet also part of what made his work compelling. Many readers are drawn to Watts because he sounded less like a distant spiritual authority and more like someone describing the human situation from inside it. The book invites reflection on what it means to learn from a teacher who is imperfect and how to separate useful insight from personal mythology. By treating his private life with seriousness, Furlong adds depth to the public narrative and encourages a more mature understanding of spiritual influence. Lastly, legacy, what endures and what should be questioned. The biography closes its arc by examining what remains of Watt's impact and why readers still return to him. Furlong explores how his work helped normalize interest in Zen, Taoism, and broader contemplative traditions among people who might never enter a monastery or formal school. His emphasis on direct experience, humor, and paradox continues to appeal in an age saturated with information yet hungry for wisdom. At the same time, the book encourages readers to see the limitations of any single popularizer, including the risks of treating Eastern traditions as interchangeable, extracting them from their disciplines, or packaging them as personal comfort. Watt's legacy is therefore twofold. He opened doors, and he also exemplifies the distortions that can happen when spiritual ideas become cultural products. Furlong presents this as an invitation to move from inspiration to deeper engagement, using Watt's as a starting point rather than an endpoint. By balancing appreciation with critique, the biography helps readers understand the historical moment that made him influential and offers a framework for evaluating modern spirituality with both openness and discernment. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who already know Alan Watts as a voice in recordings or popular references and want the human story behind the ideas, as well as for newcomers curious about how Zen and Taoist themes entered Western mainstream culture. It will also interest readers of 20th century religious history, counterculture, and biographies of public intellectuals who lived at the crossroads of spirituality and media. The benefit to a reader's life lies in perspective, seeing how Watts developed his message can help you separate genuine insight from personality. Learn how ideas change when they cross cultures, and reflect on the relationship between wisdom and ordinary human complexity. Furlong offers a portrait that encourages mature engagement rather than hero worship, which is valuable for anyone navigating modern spiritual marketplaces. Compared with many similar books that either celebrate Watts uncritically or focus only on his teachings, this biography aims for balance, combining narrative momentum with attention to the costs and consequences of influence. That blend makes it worth buying if you want context, nuance, and a clearer understanding of why Watts still matters, even when he is not easy to categorize. If you would like to support Monica Furlong, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.